Welcome back to the Guiding Grief Podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Welsenbach. What was your intersection with the word essential at the start of the pandemic? On this episode, I dive into the experience of the funeral and cemetery profession to shine a light on the unsung heroes of the past 2 years. With our mortality on the top of our minds, who were the women and men who continued to show up to serve not only my community, but yours as well? Thank you to our sponsors, Darling Fisher Life Celebrations and Los Gatos Memorial Park, and an enormous and heartfelt thank you to every funeral and cemetery professional who continue to show up and guide families during one of our society's most uncertain times. This is Guiding Grief Essential. Celebrating a life is one of the most important ways we can honor and remember someone. Each one of us deserves to be acknowledged, honored, and appreciated after our time on earth. As a funeral professional, that's the service I offer to my community, sharing stories and paying tribute to a loved one whose time has ended. With empathy and compassion, my time and I help guide those left behind in their grief as they travel down a path without that person beside them. But at the outset of the pandemic, the funeral profession wasn't even viewed as essential. Think back to the earliest days of 2020. We all recall the first offhand mentions of COVID on the news, not long after cases were peaking in China, then Italy, and New York City. Santa Clara County was one of the very first areas to shut down. Everyone, except essential workers, now what is that, and businesses, were ordered to stay home. We were ordered to stay home, shelter in place. Offices were suddenly empty, freeways were eerily barren. As a cyclist, a road cyclist, it was the first time I ever got on actually on a road and not a pathway. City centers, malls, downtowns, shopping centers, all ghost towns, literally overnight. What filled those once bustling places was fear, uncertainty, anxiety, and helplessness. Soon after the shelter in place, the list of what services and workers were considered indispensable came out. But who was essential? What was used to define essential? First line responders? Police? Firefighters? Paramedics and EMTs? Nurses? Doctors and essential hospital workers? Truck drivers? Utility workers? Restaurants and grocery stores? Made the list. And I agree, they are absolutely essential and deserve all of the recognition and appreciation they received and continue to receive. But nowhere on that essential list was any funeral service or cemetery. For the first 2 weeks, not a single business that provided these services was considered necessary. In the middle of a pandemic where the entire globe was shut down and people were staying home to avoid contracting a virus that is highly contagious and has the potential to be fatal, and funeral professionals are not essential? After more than 20 years in this profession serving families, I knew our community needed us. But for the team of individuals at the funeral homes and cemetery that are in my care alone, for them to look at that essential worker list and not see their profession created incredible uncertainty and fear. I remember getting calls and texts from my employees, all dedicated, generous, and open-hearted individuals, expressing their fear of coming into work. How could I make sure that they were comfortable and confident to come into work when most of the rest of the world wasn't? They were afraid to drive on the desolate post-apocalyptic freeways against very clear orders for non-essential workers to stay home, afraid of being pulled over and having to explain themselves. And then there was the fear of being at work and possibly being exposed to a yet-to-be-fully-understood virus that was killing people, all putting themselves and their families at risk. To help alleviate those fears, I called the chief of police in San Jose, Los Gatos, and Campbell. What I heard from each one of them is, you are essential. I wrote each one of my employees a letter they carried with them in their cars, along with their name badges and business cards, just in case they were pulled over. The pandemic put death at our doorstep. And for the past 2 years, we put our personal fears, concerns, and health aside, even though initially we weren't on that essential list. For 24 months, people providing funeral services across the United States and the globe came into work every day for our communities and to celebrate the loved ones they'd lost. during those first 2 weeks in March of 2020, I called our state assembly person and anyone I could think of who might be able to influence that list. Eventually, the essential list was updated, adding funeral services and cemeteries. Maybe it was an unintentional oversight. Maybe they assumed we knew we provided a crucial service. But that doesn't change the fact that this oversight affected the psyche of every member of my team, of every cemetery and every funeral home. The message they received was that they weren't bringing a valuable service to the community. Their community didn't need them like they needed hospitals, doctors, and DoorDash drivers. We've seen stories about all types of other first responders and essential workers. But throughout the pandemic, those providing funeral services, life celebrations, and taking care of a loved one and their families were unseen and unappreciated. Now, this is my perspective as a funeral professional that is a host to 60 team members that have worked tirelessly to care for families that aren't their own. These individuals across the nation and the globe need to be acknowledged, valued, and appreciated for the selfless work they've done over the past 2 years. These are stories that haven't been told by mainstream media and ones I think need to be said out loud. Once we made the list, we then had to navigate new policies and restrictions that impacted what we could and couldn't do. I had monthly calls with our coroner's office to ensure we were following the latest public health guidelines. You may not have ever stopped to consider how these regulations and guidelines affected the funeral profession. If you were lucky, you didn't experience that firsthand. The way we interacted with families was no longer safe. Offering empathy, compassion, and understanding on a Zoom meeting just isn't the same as meeting in person with a family, hearing the stories they want to share about their loved one. But we couldn't bring families into our spaces, sit side by side with them, and offer comfort. We couldn't give hugs to those who so desperately needed them. Not only that, but life celebrations, burials, and cremations couldn't be scheduled as quickly as before the pandemic. Our ability to properly take a pause to celebrate life and create connection was lost. We lost the personal human component that allowed us to guide people in their grief. This created even more uncertainty. How could we help our community when physically being in community was now dangerous? And because services were limited to very few people, so many lost the ability to say goodbye, to gain some semblance of closure, to share the memories and stories, to properly celebrate the life lived by the one they loved and lost. And yet, every day, we showed up. We found safe ways to hold services, to help the families that entrusted us with laying their father, mother, sister, brother, parent, child, aunt, and uncle to rest. But it wasn't the same. Saying goodbye, paying your last respects, isn't the same done virtually. The shared sorrow in a shared space wasn't available. Tears were shed remotely in private, often alone, instead of surrounded by everyone else who was also grieving that same loss. This inability to offer comfort in the way we'd always done was heart-wrenching. Through 20 and 2021, there were several times I encountered individuals that said things like, "Must be great to be in the funeral business. Must be booming." Not something that I enjoyed as it relates to the cross-section of the past 2 years' work. The pandemic was great for bike shops. I'm a cyclist, and I love the fact that many local bike shops benefited from people deciding to take up this activity. During the pandemic, many businesses profited. Sign and printing shops were another example. Many industries saw a financial peak, but we are not a bike shop. At our peak, if the outside world saw it as a financial influx to the funeral and cemetery world, it was almost received as an insult to us because they didn't understand the gravity with which grief actually impacts us. I just want to share with the world, to whoever might listen, that there is a collection of people who have dedicated their lives to serving their community by helping families through the worst days of their lives. And each of these individuals stepped up and continued to serve families at their darkest hour through the darkest time in our history since our last pandemic in 1918. So no, it wasn't about money. We don't revel in the grief and loss of others. People who work in the funeral profession are called to this work. It is not a profession they choose, they are chosen. and across the nation, they stepped up and showed up every day without fail and without any acknowledgement or appreciation for the work they were doing. In the summer of 2020, a 55-foot-long refrigerated trailer was quietly delivered into our cemetery, Los Gatos Memorial Park. It sat empty for months, its intent ominous and foreboding. And then, right after Thanksgiving, it was full. And so were the others like it in the Silicon Valley. We went from no trailers to too many trailers in the Silicon Valley. These refrigerated trailers were directly associated with the impact of the death rate, and that was to keep up with the overflow of hospitals. Each trailer held up to 55 loved ones. That's 660 in Silicon Valley alone. During that time, our staff did not grow, but the demand for our services skyrocketed. The families of these 660 people that were grieving in pain, their goodbyes placed on hold because health and safety guidelines constrained our ability to serve them in the manner we normally would. No one in this profession ever saw the pandemic as something that had been manufactured or was being blown out of proportion. What we saw were the shelves of our refrigeration units filled to capacity and a refrigerated trailer parked for months at our cemetery. Our care center staff, those licensed professionals and apprentices that care for your mom and dad, had more people to care for than they'd ever had before in such a short period of time. Never in my entire career have I encountered something so painfully surreal. Never have I had to keep loved ones in a refrigerated trailer because we couldn't have services quickly enough to meet demand. This was not only painful for mourning families, but we felt their pain. We wanted to be there to serve them, to help them honor and remember those they loved. And we did, but it couldn't be on the day they wanted or gathered with family and friends. In our lives, we are truly celebrated three times: when we are born, when we marry, and when we die. These are the times when we see extended family and friends. That's when people gather. And not being able to take that pause to celebrate the life of someone who's passed was incredibly heart-wrenching, not only for those in mourning, but for every person in our profession. Because of public health guidelines, if a family member was hospitalized, family wasn't allowed in to see them. And if they died, family couldn't come together to gather in support, love, and connection, to share their grief, to seek some sort of closure. Restrictions allowed us to only have 10 people at a service. We spent hours on calls and in Zoom meetings with other funeral professionals, brainstorming ways that we could allow families to gather and have a service. Services were abbreviated, and with only 10 people allowed in person, most people had to watch from afar. This isn't the pause those people deserved. The pause we help their families take even as the world keeps on going. So many people were deep in grief and couldn't grieve the way they wanted. Nobody ever wants to experience grief, but these people were thrust into it during a frightening and uncertain time, and we found ways to serve them. But we never saw banners on freeways or signs in communities that said, "Thank your funeral professionals." And yet we showed up. Back to that financial conversation. It wasn't the windfall that everyone anticipated it would be or made that tongue-in-cheek joke to a funeral professional, because we couldn't have services. I will never be the funeral director that needs to provide a family with items that they don't need. But we unapologetically believe in service. And we find that any form of service, whether it's two people or 500 people at a service to pause for life, we believe that's valuable. The world doesn't pause just because you've lost somebody. In my personal loss, I found that the thing that hurt me the most was that the world didn't stop. I wanted to create spaces where we can take that time to pause, to acknowledge, remember, gather, and connect. So we have designed our space to make sure that we can provide a well-lit, beautiful opportunity to celebrate life. And hopefully, the family feels, just for a moment, a pause. On the backside of grief and being a funeral professional, there is your capacity to help with the bereaved. The past 2 years stretched that limit. We were all pushed to the nth degree to find out, do I have enough left in the tank to see someone else? And the hard part for us is that relationally, it's a life celebration arrangement that allows you, in person, to see someone, to look in their eyes and develop an empathetic relationship and connection. But phone, email, and Zoom created so many limitations, making it so much more difficult for our teams. But they forged ahead. They harnessed these opportunities. On the other side of this was grief experienced by the professionals that were making those calls and sending those emails, who were trying to provide the empathy and compassion to bereaved families in need and couldn't do it in the way they knew worked best. When I meet with families, I'll have an incredible conversation about a life lived and the intersection that individual helped to change and alter their entire experience in life. They've shared with me openly and intimately about their mom, brother, sister, aunt and uncle, best friend, who they were, what they meant to them, and what they provided in their life. From those conversations, we try to curate an experience to bring people together to share that unique life story. To us, it is a beautiful way to pause, to honor and to celebrate the one thing that is not infinite, time. Our time is limited, and what we do with it is our gift back to the world. And hopefully, when we part ways with this earth, we can step back and have people say kind and wonderful things about our time on earth. There is a poem called The Dash. If you've never heard or read it, it talks about how, on our gravestone, we list our date of birth and our date of death. In between is the dash. It's the dash that represents all the time we've spent on earth. And that dash is what matters most of all. That is what we get to do. Take a pause and share the stories that happen during someone's dash. And it's not always sunshine and rainbows, but they were still somebody's son or somebody's mom, and they were still an amazing part of someone's world. We'll move past this pandemic in our world. We'll find a way to redefine what we're all comfortable with. I just don't want to enter that world without taking pause and utilizing this platform for whoever might listen to it, to acknowledge those that were there when families needed them most. When the world fell apart, at Darling Fisher and Los Gatos Memorial Park, the people that showed up are truly heroes. They're remarkable individuals that I will never forget and hope to work with for many years to come. I know that they touched many lives during this period. Thank you for listening to the Guiding Grief Podcast. This episode is dedicated to the funeral and cemetery professionals at Darling Fisher and Los Gatos Memorial Park. You are forever essential. Thank you to Care Services and the entire Houston support team for always being there with a helping hand and words of encouragement. Thank you to Kristen Frank and Rigel Brooks for your guidance with the podcast. To all other funeral and cemetery professionals, our unwavering gratitude for your work before, during, and after the pandemic. I'll leave you with this quote. Sometimes the bravest, most important thing you can do is show up. Beautiful words from Brené Brown. Life is short, folks. Be good to one another.